this morning, as we come to God's Word this morning, I just want to kind of help you to set up what we're going to talk about. Because what we're going to talk about is actually something that is seldom talked about in evangelical churches, and it's something that when we do talk about it, we tend to skim over it and just miss what it's all about. And so this morning, as we read God's Word, I want you to be thinking about that and realize that I understand that this is something that is probably new to you, or something that you probably don't know much about, or if you have heard about, you've just heard a little snippet of it, and we think we understand, we think we know, but the reality is we only know a little part. And oftentimes, that is the way we are in our lives with Christ. We think we know what God is doing, but the reality is we only see a little glimpse of what God is doing. We're going to do a quick survey. How many of you like having music playing when you are doing something? Like if you're working in the shop, or you're writing, or you're reading, you like music in the background. Oh, that's awesome. You guys are all kind of weird. That's okay. I'm not that way. I don't like music in the background. But the reality is sometimes I like music in the background. Sometimes I need that little noise to keep me focused on whatever it is I'm doing. And as I was preparing for this morning, that was where I found myself. And so as I usually do when I'm stuck, is I pull out my phone and I look in my music that I have downloaded, which is like 6 songs, because I'm cheap and don't spend money on songs. And I came to this song by Miles Davis. Now, if you know anything about Miles Davis, you know that he is one of the most accomplished jazz musicians around, and he is actually one of the most distinguished people that people talk about, and there's a lot of debate about him, because many people see him as a great musician who does some really weird stuff while he's making music. If you know anything about music, you would understand and you would appreciate the fact that what he is doing is what we call improvising. And when he improvises, he brings his own personal touch, his own personal character into his music. And when he is doing that, he gets to breathe his own life into the songs that he is doing. That is why if you go to one of his concerts at one point and you went to another one of his concerts somewhere else and he played the same exact song, it might be a little different. I hate it when the musicians mess up the song. When it's completely different than the way that I know it, it messes me up. I don't know about you, but that's just one of my biggest pet peeves, okay? Just being honest, breathing, trying to be real with you for a minute there, one of my biggest things. But Miles Davis has been known for one thing in particular. People say this one thing about him over and over and over again. Everything that he does, every note that he plays, every sound that he makes has a purpose, has a meaning. And though we listen to it and we don't know what that meaning is, he does. And the beauty of being somebody who listens to music is you're kind of at their mercy. You get to be at the musician's mercy of whatever they think you need to hear. And we just have to trust that Miles Davis knows what he's doing. Seems pretty simple. Seems pretty real. But is it? Is it really that simple? This morning I titled our message, "What's Up With That?" Because as I'm listening to Miles Davis, at the very message, the very question that I had is he did this thing in this song, and the song is called, I messed up the name, so I wrote it down for you right here. It is a song called Kind of Blue. It comes out of his Kind of Blue album. And what this song is he kind of goes up and down and really fast and really slow and really fast and really slow, and he's all over the place. And I'm like, why did you do that? What's up with you doing that? And oftentimes in our spiritual walk, that's how we are. Is doing, and we say, what's up with that? What's up with you doing it that way? Why is that person doing so well and I'm not? Why is that person speak really well and I'm not? Why is that person able to play guitar and I'm not? What's up with that? And we ask this question over and over every day in some variation or some form. This morning, we're going to talk about the Feast of Trumpets, which is one of the feasts that the Bible tells us something that God has ordained, and God made it, and he wants us to know about it. He put it in his word for us to be able to study it and to read it and to know what he's talking about, and so we need to study it. And so this morning, we're going to do that. And I want us to start in this chapter 23, okay? And this is what it says. Ready for this? Here we go. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present a food offering to the Lord. Seems pretty simple. In fact, he even talks about it in Numbers. So if we go over to the book of Numbers, you'll see right here in Numbers 29, it says, on the first day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. It is a day for you to sound the trumpets. Pretty simple. The day set aside. Pretty good, right? Okay, you're all dismissed. Good job. Have a good day. No, you see, because just like Miles Davis, when we are reading this, we think, no. But God's view and God's of what is supposed to happen is different than ours. See, because we read this in the context of the passages, and we read so two little verses, and we go, got it. Set a day aside. Blow some horns. Don't do any work. Awesome. I got it figured out. Good. But God says, if you study his word and you read his word, he will teach you and he will show you how to be drawn to him and see it in his light. And so this morning, I've been praying over this morning that we would look into God's word and we would actually see it from his perspective. Because too often when we read God's word from our perspective, which is not in itself bad. Sometimes that's what we need to read God's word. But if we really, truly want to understand what he has to say to us, we need to ask him to show us from his perspective. And so this morning, that's what we're going to do. There are some terms that I want you to know about for the Feast of Trumpet. Some of these you may have heard, some of these you may have not heard. In Hebrew, they call it Yom Teruah. Everybody say Yom, Yom, and then you say Teruah, Teruah, okay? And that means day of blowing or day of shouting. Day of blowing or day of shouting. That fits really well with the Feast of Trumpets. Make some, don't do any work, sit and rest. All kind of fits really well. That makes sense. Maybe the Hebrews have it figured out and we don't. I don't know. Just not thought. We call it, in English, we call it the Feast of Trumpets. So some of us have heard it, Yom Teruah. Some of us have heard it called Feast of Trumpet. And the Jewish people, much, much later on, way after, they had a, this came from a lot of different rabbis and people who were thinking together and trying to figure out how to explain it. And so this isn't in the text directly, but what they decided to call it, what they came to, what's a good name for it, was Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year. Okay? Of the year. And the reason that this is so important is because the text tells us that it was on the first day of the seventh month. Okay. If you're taking notes, by the way, this is what we want to put down. First day of the seventh month, because that date is in the Old Testament multiple times. And whenever you read that, that's pointing to the Feast of Trumpets. Okay? We don't think about it that way. We don't read it that way because we haven't been taught. And so anytime you see that, you can automatically say Feast of Trumpets. Okay? This is important because it's the first day of their civil calendar. The Jewish civil calendar starts on this day. Of this civil calendar. Yeah, that really doesn't matter, Derek. Why are you telling me that? I don't really care. Like, big deal. We don't do that. We don't need to know that. Why does it matter? Well, because they believed that on this particular day, the world was created. And they believed that on this particular day, Rosh Hashanah, is the day that we need to understand that everything began. That's their belief. That's not necessarily mine, but that is their belief from the Jewish perspective, okay? What does this make clear about the feast? So it involves the trumpets, it involves blowing, it involves the Is that all we need to know? Well, not. It's even more complicated than that, because when they blow, it's not just make a weird noise with the trumpet. They actually have to blow it in four different ways. Okay? And each one of these meaning, and I'm not going to go through the length of what the meanings are. I'm just going to share with you what the four different types of blowings are so you can understand in the Feast of Trumpets how this works. They have a long one and then a pause. A long and a pause. A long and a pause. And that would be their first type. Their short burst. So it's like super, super quick, all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. It's constantly going. So you got long, short, really, really quick. Then the third one that they have, staccato, really quick blowing. And then the fourth, the long, drawn out, held blowing. And this is the one that we in the States have heard. And this is the one that we associate with the Feast of Trumpets. But really, in reality, there's all these four different types of blowings that they do. Why is the trumpet the trumpet that makes us study it, that makes us want to know it, and makes us see God and Christ throughout the Bible? Well, the first thing it does is it helps us remember the provision for Isaac. Now, I don't know if you remember this. Abraham is told by God that he needs to go and sacrifice his son Isaac. And so he takes Isaac and he sets it all up. He's got the table laid out. He's got everything ready. And he's getting ready to sacrifice his son. And if you don't know what sacrifice means, that means to kill him. And so he's going to kill him because that's what God told him to do. And in that very moment that he's ready to kill him, the Bible tells us that this animal comes. And that was a sign from God not to kill his son. And so God spares Isaac's life, and he starts an entire generation of people who begin to follow him and love him and are sharing his words and his love to the world around them. The reason this is important is because the shofar, if you've ever seen a shofar, you know that it's this horn from an animal. Okay? And what this horn is, it comes straight from the animal, and people believe that the animal that they use is the exact same animal that Christ and God sent Abraham as a sign to not kill Isaac. And the Jewish people actually hold this to be true, and they hold this as part of their reasoning for why they use a shofar as their horn. Does that make sense? We awake? Are we good? Okay. The second that it helps us to remember is that it calls together an assembly. It calls a group of people together for one specific purpose. It's kind of like on Sunday mornings when we say at 10:30 we start the service. Everybody knows at 10:30 we start the service. It's like a call, so everybody comes together for the purpose of worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30. the shofar, when it was blown during the Feast of Trumpets, it was a sign like, hey, everybody, get in here. Let's go. God is coming. Christ is coming. Round up your kids. Round up everybody. Let's get moving. Quit sleeping. Quit worrying about but come to this place right now because it is time. The next thing that it tells us, that is warning and judgment. Whenever the Feast of Trumpet is happening, it is always a reminder, warning of judgment that is to come. And many people in the States really mess this up because what they think this means is that God from the Old Testament is going to share his wrath on the world. And he's just going to like bomb everybody and he's going to like hurt them and make their life miserable. But that's not what the Feast of Trumpets is really all about. The Feast of Trumpets is actually a time when you say, hey, friends, Christ is coming. We know he's coming. Are you ready? You see the difference? It's not judgment, torment, and pain. It is, are you ready for what is coming? Are you ready for what God is going to do? I wish that the churches all around the world would be able to get this perspective because I think we would shed the message of Christ way more impactfully if we were to say, are you ready for when God comes back. Rather than God's together, figure it out. No, that's not the way this works. The way this works is, hey friends, God's coming. Are you ready for him? I want to share with you a couple different things. In this time, all of these feasts that happen, and then some more feasts. And in a couple of minutes, I'm going to show you a picture of that. But what they know from this is they're preparing, they're prepping themselves I ask this question of you. Are you preparing yourself? Are you getting ready for the coming of Christ? Are you getting yourself to the point where all of your things in your life don't matter because Christ is coming? There was a time period back then, there was one famous, well-known church leader who said that Christ is coming back. And he had it down to the date, and he said it was 1988. So a bunch of people in that person went and quit their jobs and didn't go to school and sold all their cars and sold all their houses and didn't go to work and didn't go to do all these things. And here they are today having to pick up all the pieces of that. Because they just said, I'll give up. I give up. He's coming. Because they didn't really understand. They didn't really read what the Bible had. Okay? The next thing that it shows us, the announcing of a king. We see this all over in the Bible. We see 98, verses 5 through 6. And this is what it says. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Again, that is trumpet, feast of trumpet language. Shout for joy before the Lord, the king. Notice what it said in Leviticus when we went back there. We'll go back to Leviticus where we started. The Lord say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly, commemorated with trumpet blasts. I want to stop there. This idea of worship is in the Bible and with built into this feast constantly, all the time. Are you living a life of worship? Is your life a life of worship? Or is it a life of doing what you have to do? We all fall into this trap. We all fall into the trap of doing what we think we need to do just to survive. And that's not what God has for you. That's not what the Feast of Trumpets is all about. So I have a slide I want to show you, the feasts and the way that they work. And what you'll see is on the left-hand side, it's broken into spring feast and fall feast. So what you have is you have Passover, which is, we all know, when Christ is dying. We have unleavened bread when Christ rose. And so he was able to rise. And then we have the fruits, Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life. We have this little break, which some people believe is the church age, which is what we're in right now. Okay? And then we get into what we call the fall feast, which is the Feast of Trumpet, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And all of those are really good to study, but the Feast of Trumpets, like I said earlier, is one that people don't focus a lot of time on. So I wanted to spend our time this morning on that. Let's go to Psalm 89, verse 37. This is what it says. It will be established forever, like the moon, the faithful witness of the sky. It will be established forever, like the moon, a faithful witness in the sky. Here's why I have that verse on there. Because the Jewish people, when they are looking and are trying to figure out when this day is going to be, they use the lunar cycle. They use a lunar calendar. They use the moon and the way that the earth rotates and the moon and the sun and everything rotates. They use that to determine when this day is. And the way that they would do it is they would send some spies out. And the spies would be in different areas for this time when the moon and everything would go dark, and they would be on the shady side of the moon and they wouldn't have any light. And then they would go back to the king and they would individually tell the king, hey, I saw it, I saw it. And then the next one would come and say, I saw it, I saw it. And when they all came back and they said that, then the king would announce, hey, it's the Feast of Trumpets, and everybody would go crazy. And they'd blow their horns, and they would do these four different blowings of the horns. And the people would know to get ready because God is coming back, and we need to be celebrating and getting ready for his return. It's not that they believed coming on that day. It was that they believed that they needed to be ready. So they were preparing themselves and getting ready for that day. Jesus talks throughout the Bible to tell us of things that have already happened or things that are happening or will happen. Okay, and something that one of my professors always said is when Jesus speaks, you need to listen. When Jesus speaks, you need to listen. And so we read the Bible and we hear what Jesus says. We need to be going, why is he saying that? So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to read 29 through 31 and verse 36. And this is what it says. Immediately of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. All the peoples on the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud, what does it say, friends? Ready, say it. Go. Loud trumpet call. Oh, come on. You guys can do better than that. Ready? Loud trumpet call. Good. Notice the Feast of Trumpets. He's talking about the trumpets. He's talking about the celebration of the Feast of Trumpets here. And they will gather his but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Jesus is pointing to events that are going to happen and that have already happened. In 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. Okay? In fact, if you read history and you study the history, you'll see that in 70 AD, the trumpets were blown and things happened, and the temple got completely destroyed, and they had no place to worship. And if you read in Josephus, Josephus says that in, read it exactly, he said it, around September 24th, 70 AD, is when the trumpets happened. That's what Josephus says. That's his wording. He says, around September 24th. Do you know when the Feast of Trumpets was? Any guesses? Any guesses? Yeah. September 24th. I don't know if anybody else gets, like, freaked out by that, but that's just weird to me. That people from completely different belief systems and completely different perspectives and thoughts on life all share information that all points to what Christ said in the Bible. And some people say that Jesus isn't in the Old Testament. Yeah, I beg to differ with you. That's just one example right there. With this, you need to know, I am not telling you that on September 24th, Christ is coming back. That is not what I'm telling you. But I'm not telling you that. We are very calendar, day, hour based. That's not the way that God is. Remember I said we need to read the Bible through his perspective. We need to read it through his eyes. And he is not looking at it going, today is Sunday. That's not how Christ is looking at it. That's how we do it, but that's not how God looks at it. The same with the Feast of Trumpets. Now, here's what I will say to you. Will he come back on what he thinks is the Feast of Trumpets? Yep. Because everywhere in the Bible, everywhere in Scripture, when we see that Christ is coming back, it's the announcement of that is during the Feast of Trumpets. So I have no doubt in my mind that when he comes back, in his perspective of everything, which is way better than anything I would ever come up with, it will be the Feast of Trumpets. Paul and Jesus use Feast of Trumpet language. I'm going to read a couple verses for you. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." That's like, remember I said there were four calls? That's like the really long trumpet that they do at the end of the feast. "For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, imperishable, and we will be changed." The next one I want to read is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. It says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we will be with the Lord forever." I want you to notice this. The text tells us that we, the people who are living, who believe in Jesus, who believe that he came and he died and he rose again and that he did that so that we could have a relationship with him. For those of us who hold to that, the Bible says if we're still alive on the Feast of Trumpet, that there's going to be all kinds of weird things happening that we won't be able to explain. But the one thing we do know is that we, the living, will be called out, and we will go out and we will meet Christ as he's coming to us. Have you ever had somebody to your house that you were not prepared for? Have you ever had somebody just randomly show up to your house? I hate when they do that. Stop doing that. Because I got to clean my house. I got to move the flowers. I got to make sure that the blanket's laid out perfectly and the pillows are all set right. Got to make sure that the kids' toys are picked up and that, like, all the dirty clothes are in the room away from where anybody can see them. But who are coming, what do? We prepare for them. And that's what the Feast of Trumpets is. It's us preparing to go meet Christ. When he comes, he's going to come, and we're going to go out to meet him, not to go where he is, but we're going to go out as a procession for him and bring him back with us. We're welcoming him to where we are. I want you to think about that. Are you ready to go out to where Christ is and say, hey, come back with me. Let's go. Come on. Oftentimes, we don't see that because, A, it's hard to teach. B, it's hard to understand. And C, it's hard to live. It's hard to live in a way that we're ready to come back. And we're ready to bring him with us. I have practical ways for us to do that. And I hope that in these practical ways, you won't see them as the only way, but you will see them as take, and you can live out the Feast of Trumpets in your life. Okay? And so the first thing that I want to do, if I have to summarize it, it's going to be like, and be a trumpet. Listen to the trumpet, listen for the trumpet, and be a trumpet. What does it look like for us to listen to trumpet? If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write one thing you think it means to listen to the trumpet. Like, how can you do that? When we are confronted with our sinfulness and our dark evilness that separates us from God, that is the one we can see that we are listening to the trumpet. When God comes in and he says to us, hey, you have this you need to fix in your life, and we listen to that, you are listening to the trumpet. Living in a posture of repentance, ready for Christ to work in your life, is listening to the trumpet. When's the last time that you checked your posture with Christ? I don't mean like you stand up straight and you sit up straight and your back's not all bent over. I mean like your posture before Christ, when you're with him in your daily life, when... oh, wow, I really need to fix this and this. Listen to the trumpet for the trumpet. Listen for the trumpet. We should be living our life in such a way that other people know that we have a purpose in the way that we are living. And I cannot say this any more clear. I cannot say this. You have such a purpose that other people wonder. You know, they say that one reason that marriages fall apart is over money. And when they took that and they studied in 2018, they did a study in what Barna Research found. The reason that the couples argue about money is because they haven't told their money what they're going to do with it. The couples can't figure out where they're putting their money. One thinks it's going to go to rent and it's going to go to buy a new boat. One thinks it's going to go to buy eyeliner and the other one thinks it's going to go to pay for the mortgage. And they can't figure out what they're doing with their money, and so marriages are falling apart. That is what the research found. People, your life needs to be in such a way that people look at you and they can say, life focused on Jesus. Say that. Marriage and your relationships. And your job? Jesus, say that? Nehemiah and Ezra are texts where they're caught in captivity, and Nehemiah and Ezra are here, and that's where these verses come in. All the people came together, unified in the square before the water gate. They asked Ezra the scribe to bring out the book to obey. That makes sense. We have the Bible so that we can obey it. Okay? Nothing new there. So, first day of the seventh, Feast of Trumpet, Ezra the priest brought the book to the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who are able to understand. That means if you can hear and you are of age where you can understand conversation, you fit into this. He read it on noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and all people who could understand, and all the people listened closely to the book of the law. This is a long time to be sitting there listening to somebody reading the text. Like, can you imagine sitting in a sermon for 5 hours while somebody's sitting there reading the Bible to you, and that's all they're doing? That is what these people are doing. And it tells us they listen closely. I love that. I love that word, closely, because their excitement and their engagement was there. The next thing that we do is we listen for the trumpet, because many people live like he's not coming back. And so I want you just to think for a little bit about how you live, and are you living for his return? Paul wrote this to a man named Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. He says, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures." That's where a lot of people in the world are today. "And we should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed." And then Paul wrote this to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said this. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do you know what longing for the appearing of Jesus looks like? Do you know for the returning of Jesus? Just want you to think about that. It means that we would be holy people. We are holy people because we long for his return. The third point is be a trumpet. Trumpet. Okay, so here's the aspect of this that I want you to understand. Being a trumpet is more than going to church on Sunday. Being a trumpet is more than inviting someone to church. Being a trumpet is more than saying a prayer when you go out to have lunch after church. Being a trumpet has way more to do with who you are inside than who you are outside. It has way more to do with who you are inside than who you are outside. And so I want to close this morning with this. What is the one thing, I know this probably got like 12, but what is one thing that is stopping you from being a trumpet?